Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast. Today is Monday, May 11th, 2020. It is actually day number 17 for Ramadan for Muslims who are fasting, praying, and doing their duties as loyal Muslims. For the past several weeks on The Cross in the Desert, I have been featuring special program to preach the powerful gospel to Muslims during this time of Ramadan, to reach out to them with the good news of Jesus. And today I want to do that in a couple of different ways for us this morning. I want to talk about the fastest growing church in the world, the fastest growing underground church in the world, and that is the underground house church movement in Iran. Well, if you've been following the program, you know how Iran has been devastated by the coronavirus and how the government has not been very helpful to them. In fact, because of their mismanagement and incompetence, many thousands of Iranians have died already. And there are many doctors and nurses in the front lines fighting this horrible virus without the adequate supplies that they should have. But this virus has truly affected the Iranian underground house church movement. But in spite of that, Open Doors, which serves the persecuted church all over the world, has been reaching out to them in different ways to strengthen them and encouragement with what they're going through. And one of the ways they're doing this is through the miracle of technology and online worship. And I want to share this special report with you. For many Iranian Christians, going to a building they call a church is something they can only dream about. Instead, they meet secretly in houses, gathering in their homes with several other believers and avoiding the attention of the government. And that's how things were until the coronavirus came to Iran. This is from Salome. She's an online worker who reaches out to the Iranians. She says, as soon as the outbreak of the virus was announced, we stopped all of our face-to-face house church meetings. Everyone is obeying the rules and doesn't even visit his or her family during this virus outbreak. Iran was really hit hard by the coronavirus pandemic, and it doesn't seem like the crisis is over there yet. For Christians in Iran, many of them who have to worship Jesus in the shadows, it was an additional burden of life already filled with much danger and tension. Iranian Christians faced a significant question. Can a secret church continue to exist under a lockdown? If it wasn't for online tools and workers, it would have been extremely difficult for this church. But with the support of many, through partners, through Open Doors, what was difficult has become a spark for the church in Iran. Salome says, and she's the online worker, in this time of crisis, we have over 10 hours of prayer meetings every day, she says. We created a special prayer schedule that we call Frontline, where prayer members can virtually walk in and out to come to pray together. This is all done through the miracle of technology online. And even though Salome doesn't live in the country where the people she serves live, working with, and encouraging an online community, it's still a 24/7 job for her. Salome says, and this is especially true in times of crises, our people are sitting at home now all day long, she says. We help them to overcome fear and anxiety and spend extra time with them individually. Apart from teaching, prayer, and worship sessions, we also have group meetings in which we share our testimonies to help us deal with the reality of this disease. And how they do that is it's through the miracle of Zoom, where they can meet online live through video, and you see all these different blocks of people put together. It's amazing. Salome emphasizes how happy she is with the support she has received through Open Doors as a partner. She says, your support and prayers result in the growth of the kingdom of the underground church in Iran. The underground church in Iran is still alive with the miracle of technology. Even though church buildings are closed, even though a pandemic is terrorizing the country, and Salome says, I pray that one day we will all be standing in front of God's throne, knowing we've done our part in the kingdom. And so while this crisis makes the meeting of the house church in Iran more isolated than before because they're all in lockdown, through the help of Open Doors and people like Salome and the online tools we have through technology, we can still keep this house church movement alive. And I echo that because I've had many experiences online with Iranian Christians. This is a special story from my book, The Cross in the Desert. I want to share this with you. Just in what we've talked about with Salome. Bless the Lord, O my soul, worship his holy name. And that is the opening lyric of an incredible worship song and video by contemporary Christian artist Matt Redman. This song is also on my iPod, and I find it hard to stop listening to this song. I find myself adoring God in worship and praise through this powerful little song. Now, just recently, I uploaded this song to my Facebook page to share it with all of my friends. One of the first persons, and I remember this experience, one of the first persons to like this song was my dear Iranian friend, Ebi. After he watched the video, we began to have a chat together. And I was on my smartphone, like I'm always, and he was on his laptop at home in Tehran. I asked Ebi what he thought about the video, and he quickly responded, saying it was beautiful. What he said next was the cause of a profound worship experience. Ebi said, Randy, it is my dream to go to church someday with you without fear. Well, I'll tell you, I cannot adequately describe the emotions I had when he said that. I begin to think of the song again by Matt Redman entitled 10,000 Reasons. And what I can best describe as a flash of light or a vision, I could see myself and all of my friends in Iran together worshiping without fear. I quickly texted Ebi back and told him, you don't have to be afraid, Ebi. We are together right now in heart and spirit. We may be miles apart, but we are together worshiping God in spirit. I told Ebi to watch the video again as we chatted. Then I said, lift your voice and heart and praise with me right now. We are worshiping together. Then I boldly told Ebi, there is no government in Iran that can stop you and me right now from worshiping together. Well, Ebi agreed and told me, my biggest dream is to go to church. Now, he's talking about to go to a church building and to worship without fear. My heart just goes out to my friend. His greatest dream in Iran is to worship Jesus without fear. Muslims in Iran are forbidden to convert to any other religion. It can cost them their lives, and that's why Ebi Well, he just lives in constant fear. A few years ago, he became a Christian, and because of that, he must practice his faith secretly. However, God's word is not bound or restricted by government laws. Through the miracle of technology, my friend and I did go to church together that very special night a few years ago. For a few precious and unforgettable minutes, Evie and I worshiped together online, reflecting on an incredible song by Matt Redman. You know, there is no distance in worship. I can sing with Matt Redman, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, worship his holy name." And for a few minutes, one night after work, God answered the prayer of Ebi in Iran. And it's a moment that I will never forget. Just like Salome, during this lockdown, this crisis in Iran, she can still, through the miracle of technology, meet with Iranian Christians who meet together in the secret underground church, and they can pray together and worship together. There is no binding of the word of God. There is no distance in worship. Right now, I want to feature a very powerful testimony from my Facebook friend. His name is Mohammed Faridi. He is the author of his book, Forsaking My Father's Religion. You can get that book on Amazon. It's the story of his journey out of Islam to Christianity. He lived in Iran at one time, and just like those in the underground house church movement, he found his hope and freedom in Jesus. I want you to hear his powerful testimony right now on the cross in the desert.
Nobody knows, am I doing enough? There is no guarantee, there is no assurance. This limbo is always, always is in your mind as a Muslim.
Born in Iran, raised in a strict Shia family, Mohammed Faridi was taught he had one purpose in life.
My goal as a Muslim was to satisfy a God that I didn't know, a God that I couldn't get to know. So everything I did, everything I read, studied, it was about to fulfill that particular goal, to keep him satisfied with me, to have his approval.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
From childhood, he prayed and fasted and memorized the Quran.
Because the belief is that if you memorize the Quran, you cannot be burned in hell, because the verses of the Quran are eternal and they are pure. When it's in your mind, that mind cannot be burned in hell. I was always in constant fear.
Then, as a teenager, he started ritual flagellations to earn Allah's approval.
We have chains, we have swords that we beat ourselves with it to punish ourselves in order to pay for our sins, to show how sorrowful we are.
But there was only one way he could secure his place in paradise.
The only guarantee, according to chapter 5 of the Quran, is jihad and being a slave or a slain for the cause of Islam. That's the only guarantee you will find in the doctrine of Islam.
Muhammad hoped to get his chance in battle when he served his 2 years of mandatory military service after high school. But war never broke out, and when his army career came to an end, Muhammad grew frustrated and depressed.
I knew as a Muslim, if I commit suicide, I will definitely end up in hell. At this time, I'm living in hell. If I kill myself, I'm end up in hell. So I had this dilemma. I was stuck. I really was stuck.
Then one day, he met up with a friend that he hadn't seen since high school. Right away, Muhammad noticed something different about him.
He was very mellow, very peaceful, and it bothered me to the point that I said, "What is going on with you today? There's something very different today." And then he said that he became a Christian. And he started explaining about the goodness of God. He talked about the love of God and how his relationship with God, that is through Jesus Christ, has changed their lives. I tried to defend myself. I tried to prove him wrong. But after 2 hours of intense arguments, I was an echo of what the Imam in the mosque told me. I had nothing that I could stand on as a Muslim, because I didn't know God. But the way my friend was talking about Jesus, it was like talking about a friend of him, a personal guy that he actually knew. Out of desperation, I fell on my knees and I asked him, what do I need to do to receive him? Everything that I had to do on my own as a Muslim, to beat myself, to bruise myself, to shed my own blood, to become a sacrifice. He said, it's already done in the person of Jesus Christ. And if you believe in him, you will have eternal life. And it was simple, but it was the most amazing good news, the true good news I've ever heard in my life.
Finally, Muhammad discovered the personal relationship with God that he had always desired.
Something within me that was always in war with me, always restless. It was like a cancer that always bothered me, never was satisfied. That moment when I made that commitment, when I prayed that prayer, it was like yanked out of me. And for the first time in my life, I felt peace.
Muhammad was excited but worried about telling his family. According to Sharia law, they would have every right to kill him.
So I had to choose between my family and my heavenly family. And at that time, I counted the cost and I said, I will choose my heavenly family regardless of what's going to happen.
When he did eventually tell them, his family tried to persuade him back to Islam. But Muhammad was convinced that Jesus was the one true God.
The more I read this New Testament, the Gospels, the more it connected to me, the more it spoke to me. The Gospels show the hypocrisy of Islam to me.
For the next 2 years, he attended underground churches and grew in his faith. Eventually, he fled to Turkey, fearing for his life. After 3 years of interviews and waiting, he was granted religious asylum in the United States.
God is a good God, and what he has done through Jesus Christ for us will change our lives for good and for eternity, to put us in the right standing with God in a relationship with our Heavenly Father.
Today, Muhammad never misses a chance to share the personal relationship he has with God.
I was a very uncertain person as a Muslim, but when I came to the knowledge and understanding of who Jesus is and what he has done for me, that love, that hope, you cannot find it in any other place, especially in Islam.
It's such a powerful yet simple and profound testimony. Muhammad was reduced to ashes when he heard the good news of the gospel. He found a love and acceptance in Christ that he could never find in all of his self-flagellation and rituals of Islam. This is what the good news does, the powerful gospel. The Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God that results in salvation for everyone that believes. The greatest good news came from the lips of Jesus, and it's still echoing this day in the house church movement. He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and will not come into the judgment, but is passed out of death into life. John chapter 5, verse 24. It is an amazing good news that Muslims in Iran who have met Jesus give their lives, put their lives on the line every day, refusing to walk away from a God of love and peace and grace and forgiveness. And that's where we meet him, at the altar. Right now, I want you to hear this incredible worship song from Elevation Worship. If you do not know the Lord Jesus, if you're an Iranian and you are struggling with fear and doubt, this is your moment and this is your song.
Are you hurting, broken, thin, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Such a powerful song of worship. That is the music, the powerful worship music of Elevation Worship, and a song entitled, Oh, Come to the Altar. And I can remember, wow, this has been 41 years ago that I answered the call and I came to the altar on October 30th, 1979. I'll never forget it. I had spent my young adult life in fear. I was constantly in fear because I was afraid of death. It tormented me. I had very, very serious anxiety attacks. My heart would beat so fast. I was afraid to leave the house and drive a car because fear had such a hold on me. And then one night, some friends invited me to a time of, they called celebration. And they got on a hayride, and then they had a little campfire, and they roasted hot dogs and marshmallows. It was a church group. And the first thing that impressed me about these young people was that they were so excited. They didn't talk about religion, but they talked about a special relationship with Jesus. And at that time, I was so drawn to that, that peace they had, that assurance they had. And I went to their little church in a storefront in Maryland Heights on October 30th, 1979. It was called Grace Christian Center. And it was that night that I answered an invitation to come to the altar and to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That was over 41 years ago. That church is a major church today. I'm a member of that church. It's called Grace Church. It looks like a shopping center, but it's a church that I was born again at. More than 41 years ago, I came to the altar, and my fears of death and my anxieties that night melted away when I heard the good news of Jesus. It's Jesus who says, I am the bread of life. Listen to these words. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. What that means is that Jesus fulfills everything that we need, our spiritual hunger, our spiritual thirst. Mohammed Faridi could not argue with his Christian friend. It was such a powerful testimony of how Jesus had changed and transformed his life that he fell to his knees. And the same happened to me. Now, I tell you, after I got saved, I was in a lot of hot water and persecution for my own family for a while. But within a few months, they too came to the Lord. I wish I could tell you it's been an easy journey. It hasn't, but it's worth everything in the world. And so today, I just urge you, if you hear the call to come to Christ, don't silence that voice. Come and find your hope and freedom in Jesus. It's been a pleasure serving you this morning on the cross in the desert. I will see you again on Thursday. Have yourself a great day.